Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington, and I'm joined by Brooks Johnson of the Star Tribune's North Report team. Hello, Brooks.
Hey, Robin.
And our own Superior-based reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio News, Danielle Kading. Hi, Danny.
Hi, Robin.
So, Brooks, that haze is still in the sky. What's it doing to us, and when's it going away?
Yes, well, it's the result of massive Canadian wildfires up about 150 miles north of Minnesota on the Manitoba-Ontario border. So millions of acres have burned and, you know, rain has been scarce. Drought conditions that have affected the Midwest, the American West, have also affected Canada. And that smoke has just been pouring into Minnesota and Wisconsin and the rest of the nation, really, causing some record low air quality. Some alerts have been lifted in the state as of now, but the fires continue to burn. And then on the, closer to the border, there are some fires in Quetico Provincial Park, which is just across from the Boundary Waters in Minnesota. So they're watching those fires. Some new ones have sprung up. Really, you know, what Canadian fire officials told me is we have bigger fish to fry. We can't be looking at these small fires along the border, but we've got folks mobilized from around the country in Minnesota now watching in case those fires jump across the lakes and threaten our pristine wilderness.
All right. Well, speaking of things that aren't going away or are coming back, mask wearing is back with us again. What are we supposed to do?
Well, it depends on where you are. According to CDC guidance, the federal government put out recently, counties that have, you know, substantial or high transmission risk, that is, more than 50 cases per 100,000 residents within a week, you're supposed to wear masks whether you're vaccinated or not anywhere indoors. Some governments have taken that a little farther and said, we're going to bring back the mask requirement in certain areas. So Duluth, Minneapolis, St. Paul, they've all said, mask up when you're in city buildings. Many businesses in Duluth and in the Twin Ports have said, yep, put your mask back on. We're going to better safe than sorry, vaccinated or not. So we're seeing a resurgence in mask wearing, just as we're seeing a surge in Delta variant cases, a highly transmissible COVID-19 strain that is spreading, especially among unvaccinated individuals, as the push to get the last chunk of folks vaccinated continues.
And some institutions are demanding that you do get vaxxed.
Yes, it's a matter of your employment for some. So Essentia Health and St. Luke's both this week said that they would require vaccines for all employees, very few exceptions, as a condition of employment. So Essentia and St. Luke's are already, you know, the largest employers in Duluth and in Superior, frankly. The two institutions certainly could send a ripple effect through other businesses, we've watched around the nation as cities and businesses have started putting in vaccine mandates as they try to get back to work, try to come in person. There's been some pushback with Essentia and St. Luke's, but the health organizations say that the law is on their side and that patient safety is at the forefront of their decision to make sure that all of their employees are vaccinated.
All right. Well, Danny, on the Superior side, the city is looking at getting a big natural gas plant, but maybe not so fast.
Yeah, so the latest on the debate with the $700 million natural gas plant that's being built by La Crosse-based Dairyland Power Cooperative and Duluth-based Minnesota Power is that a petition has been filed by environmental groups and an indigenous group asking the Rural Utility Service for a supplemental environmental assessment of that plant and its emissions and impact on climate change. And this is all due in part because Dairyland Power, which is one of the utilities building it, has asked the federal government to loan it money for its portion of the $700 million proposed gas plant. They're jointly building this Minnesota Power, and they've said that, the 625 megawatt gas plant will help be a bridge fuel, basically, to supplement their plans to transition to wind and solar, that it would provide reliable electricity when the sun isn't shining and the wind isn't blowing. But environmental groups have contended that we really need to be taking a look at the environmental emissions from this plant, which could produce at least 1.5 million tons of greenhouse gas emissions each year over the next 30 years. And they're citing, you know, new studies that have come out since an environmental assessment was completed by the Rural Utility Service. You know, they previously found that there was no significant impact related to the building of this plant. But now they're saying we need to go back and look at some of the new research that has come out. They're saying that new evidence has come to light, and that needs to be considered before the federal government goes about financing this project.
All right. Well, Superior may not be getting that facility right away anyway, but there could be a significant amount of money from the federal government available to the city in the federal infrastructure bill.
Yeah, the city and really all of Wisconsin, you know, this $1 trillion bipartisan infrastructure bill that was introduced into the U.S. Senate this week could help the state fix deteriorating roads and bridges and provide money for internet and water infrastructure. You know, it would include $550 billion in new federal spending over the next 5 years for highways, rail, power, electric vehicle charging stations, and money for public transit. And basically, Superior Mayor Jim Payne is saying that this is a really good piece of legislation that he's throwing his support behind because of how it would impact the city. There were a number of things that were included in the bill that could provide resources to the city. Some of those things include funding for inner-city rail partnerships. And as you know, there is the Northern Lights Express proposal to bring passenger rail service from the Twin Cities to Duluth Superior. So this could potentially provide funding to get that work going. Also, the legislation would include another $1 billion in funding for a federal Great Lakes cleanup and restoration program over the next 5 years. And Payne has said that that would accelerate work by the city and multiple partners to clean up the St. Louis River. And, you know, it's also going to include, I believe it's $65 billion for expanding high-speed internet. And the city of Superior has been exploring building its own city-owned broadband network. And now Mayor Payne is saying that potentially through this bill that they would be able to deliver that service faster than ever before. It's something that the city is still discussing. We'll see what happens with that.
All right. And last week, we celebrated gymnast Suni Lee from the Twin Cities for her Olympic gold medal. Now, the Pride of Rice Lake is also medaled.
Yeah, there's a runner with roots in Rice Lake who won a silver medal at the Summer Olympics in Tokyo. Kenny Bednarik finished the men's 200-meter dash in 19.68 seconds. And that was on Wednesday this week. He finished just 0.06 of a second behind the gold medal winner, Andre DeGrasse of Canada. You know, WPR spoke with his family this week, his mom, Mary Ann, and his sister, Mary Alice, and they were driving to Minneapolis to catch a flight to Florida, where the U.S. Olympic track and field team is hosting gatherings for family members. And basically, they said that, you know, Kenny had started running, you know, just in the second grade, and that this is something that he's been passionate about his whole life. So this is something where he's been really standing out for a long time, and now the whole world knows it too.
All right. You know, first that Canadian haze, now the Canadian runners, but that's okay. We'll take silver. And congratulations to Kenny. And we've been speaking with Danielle Kading, the Superior-based reporter for WPR News. Thank you, Danny.
Thanks, Robin.
And Brooks Johnson of the Star Tribune's North Report team. Thank you, Brooks.
Thanks, Robin.
You can read the stories by Brooks and the Star Tribune's entire Twin Ports Bureau at www.startribune.com/northreport, and be sure to subscribe to their local newsletter. Next week on Simply Superior.
My hat has been the hat that was given to me, the Big Top Chautauqua. People always ask me, they go, what is that? And I say, it's such a fun venue, because it really is.
That's comedian Paula Poundstone, who will have on the day before her appearance at Big Top Chautauqua. And that's it for this edition of Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. We leave you with more of the music of Moores and McCumber. Stay safe, everyone.
You think you're broken, but you're strong, right where you belong. No second guessing. It's hard to know what you feel when nothing seems real, and we're all stressing. I beg and I plead. for sweet salvation. It comes at such a cost. I think of all we found and lost. I can't stop thinking. Oh, I can't stop thinking. I think about it